Hey folks, welcome to Gino's Talk and Rock, where we talk all things hard rock and heavy metal. Just a very quick little monologue here for today. We're getting ready to actually go see Ben Torres here at Savannah Smiles here downtown Savannah. It's just always an incredible show. That's the interview that I'm actually getting ready to put out there. You guys are going to love it. Ben's an incredible talent. He's a really interesting person. And somebody we definitely support. And we'll hopefully have some other things coming up with him. So yeah, I love what he does, and I love to hear his story. He's just got a great story to tell. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I'll have more coming out here soon. But this right here will be it for today for this show. So enjoy it. Love the interview. Get into Ben Torres if you get a chance. If you're in Savannah, go see him at Savannah Smiles. Incredible performer and an incredible talent. Once again, keep those metal horns up. And thanks for subscribing to Gino's Talkin' Rockin'. If you haven't, definitely do subscribe. And I'm on all the streaming platforms. And I'd love to have you guys on board. And keep those metal horns up, guys. Hey, folks, welcome to Gino's Talkin', where we talk all things hard rock and heavy metal. Most of the time, and this is no real exception to that, we're still going to be talking music and talent and somebody who definitely has more than an abundance of talent. And that's somebody who's been on the show before, Ben Torres. I met Ben, it was a little while ago. He's a piano player and an entertainer and an incredible musician, an amazing musician. That plays in a local area an establishment that's local, he and I start talking, and I know that he plays a lot of like Journey and things like that on the stage, and so I approached him, and it was just incredible. And so I had him on the show once before, had a great response, and then what we realized was that the people, his fans, wanted to hear about his life story. So eventually, all kinds of stuff has been happening. We squared down a time. To be honest with you, Ben can corroborate this. We literally did this like, I don't know, was it like an hour ago, hour and a half ago? Yeah, we squirreled this away. So this is how fast this happened. But everybody, welcome Ben Torres to the show. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that we found some more time to talk. I've been looking forward to it. It was just a matter of coordinating schedules. That's all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have a pretty open schedule as far as what you do on a daily basis for the job. But Ben is really popular. I'm going to say it. You're a pretty popular guy. I go largely unrecognized and unnoticed here in our smaller community, which is fine, which is actually works really well for me, because then I'm able to reach out and I grab these artists without having really any issues. And then they can talk to me without any issues. But Ben, because he's out there, he's seen. And if anybody doesn't know, I think it's fair for me to say, Savannah Smiles is one of the most popular dual piano bars, probably in the country. I think that would be fair to say. One of the most popular, and it is the largest in here. It's the largest dual piano bar in the United States, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say one of the largest and busiest. There are a couple that are really busy, like Smiles, but it's definitely, I would say, top three.
Top three.
I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be fair. And one of the things, and we'll talk more about this later, but I'm happy to say this right now, because this is something that's been on my mind, is one of the things I want to actually work on, because we do get a lot of rock artists that come here and do shows here. And I would love to have those artists come here and come spend a few hours at the club.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be amazing. And I think I think that's a great place for them to be. And the reason why I bring that up, because recently I heard an interview, I can't remember what show it was on. And they were talking about how, I went to this club and there's this band. It was the house band. They were covering our band. They found out we were in there, and we came up and we played our song with them. And I thought, that would be the most, that'd be the just the greatest thing to do. That's just something that, that's being talked about, and or something I'm kind of like trying to think of. We could like pitch to the owners and kind of come up with an idea, a way for us to actually incorporate that.
We do get like famous singers and bands come into the club quite a bit. I know, I think it was a year and a half, 2 years ago, Morgan Wallen came in. The band Hinder came in once. The Drake White band came in last year. So it does happen.
So there you have it, guys. And tonight is the opportunity for this incredible, amazing musician who I've always just been, I've watched him. In fact, I'll be there this Saturday watching you again. And I'm so excited to I love watching Ben. Ben is just an incredible performer, and I've watched hundreds and hundreds of live acts. I was a performer, but watching Ben, he is inspirational. He's an incredible musician. He believes in what he does, and he does what he does because he loves it. That's really important. And you'd be shocked. There's a lot of musicians out there who don't love it, and they do it though. So.
And the cool thing about when you come in, Gino, is I feel like I get to change my repertoire a little bit. Like, you know, we usually get the Journey, like you said, the Billy Joel, you know, Taylor Swift. And then when you come in, I start playing Tool and Metallica. And I like it because it challenges me because it's a different genre than what most of the people that come to Smiles are used to hearing. But it's, you know, the songs I picked from those bands are recognizable and they are appreciated as much as the pop and rock stuff that we do. So.
Sure. Well, let's dive right into it. That kind of gives us a segue right into this. You know, let's talk about how this whole thing started for you. In the last interview, you alluded to the fact that you had done tours with touring bands and you've done those things before, but you were more, this is what you want to do. What you're doing right now is what you really want to do. So let's kind of go dig deep and kind of go back to where how this whole thing started. How did the Ben Torres experiment happen?
So my parents, my mom played piano growing up, and she signed my brother. So I have two siblings, an older brother and a younger sister. We're all extremely close. And my parents signed all three of us up for piano lessons at an early age. I think I was 3 and a half. And we all took lessons, and I think my brother and sister took it for like a year or two, but I kept with it. I just found a connection. I just really enjoyed it, which was kind of funny because as a kid, I was not well behaved at all. My brother and sister would attest to that. I was, you know, I misbehaved all the time. So like the music thing was kind of like my outlet in that regard. And I took piano lessons for, I want to say all the way from 3 or 4 years old up until high school, like formal lessons. Like I was the first piano teacher that I had taught me how to play music by ear, which is a method in piano called Suzuki. Where like she would literally send me home with cassette tapes. I would listen to them and then I'd come back and have to like basically play everything that I heard, which was extremely helpful. Wow. And actually with what I do now, as much as reading music is helpful, it's more beneficial with my career now to have a good ear because, you know, when people ask me for a song, you know, at the club, I don't have time to look up the sheet music and learn it. I have to listen to it like either on the spot or in the back room and basically regurgitate everything that I hear like on the spot. So that kind of training was really helpful. So my parents signed me up for that kind of piano when I was 3 or 4 years old. And then after that teacher, I went to another teacher who taught me how to read music. And then after that, it was like more of a classically trained piano player when I got to eighth and ninth grade. But I started taking piano at an early age and singing just as long. I remember my mom telling me stories in elementary school where the music teacher in elementary school approached her and I still remember the teacher's name. Her name was Mrs. Mapstone. And I remember her talking to my mom saying, like, you know, I have a lot of really musical students in the chorus, but your son has something special. And that's why he's singing all the solos and stuff like that. So I started singing almost as early as I did playing piano. And, you know, from that point, you know, my mom and dad had me singing in like Syracuse Children's Choir. I grew up in upstate New York. So there were some children's choirs that I was in, and then the choirs became chorales, and I did talent shows, and then when I got to high school, I started singing in bands, and that's how things kind of took off for me.
Well, real quick onto that, yeah. I cut you off. So when you started singing in bands in high school, I think most people know that when you're in high school, that's very, very much of your musical informative years. Those are the years where you start to really form your musical interests. Some people say, well, I listen to everything. But for many people, you know, such as myself, my interests, maybe even before high school, were going towards another direction. What direction, was there a direction that you were leaning towards, or?
I always loved performing and, you know, being on stage. I don't know. It's weird, Gino. Like, it's, and I always say this, like, I don't get nervous singing and playing for people. I get more nervous doing interviews like this. It would be more comfortable for me to sing you a Tool song than it is to sit here and talk about my life. But, you know, in high school, it was strange. Like I had a very, very, had a varied group of friends that I hung out with. I played sports growing up too. I played rec basketball my whole life. And in middle school, if you were to ask me what I wanted to do when I got older, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. I loved playing. And music was always like an outlet for me. So I always saw it as being part of my life, but I didn't know that this is what was going to become of it. And now that I've been doing it full time since 2009, because prior to that, as we talked about in my last interview, I was a teacher. I taught middle and high school math because I didn't know that I could do this as a living, and I wanted to find something else that I was good at. And I knew I always liked working with kids, like growing up. And I was always good at math. So I thought, oh, you know, maybe I'll teach. And I loved teaching. But now, you know, I don't work with kids. I work with drunk people. And,
you know, let's be honest, it's pretty close to the same.
They are kind of kids. But people clap for me now. Nobody clapped for me. I taught.
Well, this brings up a point. We'll get back to this, but this also brings up the point that something I kind of was drumming home on an article that I responded to, and I'm happy that very very short. I'm not going to get onto a soapbox about this at all because I don't think it needs to be. But rock stars are stupid. You're out of your mind. The amount of rock stars and rock musicians that have PhDs and master's degrees and school teachers and all these things will blow people's minds. It's incredible. The lead singer of the Offspring has a PhD. What? Why couldn't he? Why shouldn't he? He should. He's an intelligent person. Go off and go do what you want to do. Brian May has a PhD in astrophysics. Oh my gosh, no way. In case you didn't know, it's the guitarist from Queen. Yes, these are very, very intelligent. Yeah. several members of the band Dream Theater were professors at Juilliard. Oh my gosh, it's impossible. Like, I mean, yes, Gene Simmons. Oh my God, he was in your shoes. Gene Simmons was a school teacher. Yep. Oh my gosh, blows people's minds. Why wouldn't he be? He's a very intelligent man. Very intelligent. Why wouldn't he be? I think that, you know, I find that to be very much, it's not meant in a negative way at all. Very typical. You're an intelligent guy, and rock and roll. I will say I was in a band with somebody who had, I'm not sure what the diagnosis was, but it's very much somebody who, he's basically, he could not, there was not enough information that could keep him going. And he tried everything. He tried everything. The only thing that was an outlet was music, specifically rock and roll music. Because in his brain, rock and roll went on for eternity. Like classical music, it would just go on and on forever and ever and ever. Notes and everything just always happened, kind of like math. But for him, it was music. And that's the way it was. He was just the most incredible guitar player. We didn't know it at the time, but that's what he had. And similar to the Russell Crowe movie, Beautiful Mind. But it's the same thing as, you know, very intelligent people gravitate towards these things. You're playing music. And, you know, it's rock and roll-esque. And most of it is. And most of it's rock music. But it's very, you know, but it's really much, I think that for you, yeah, it's very much mind expanding. People don't realize that rock and roll is. And I'm not, this is not my thing to be up here saying anything to anybody, but it is rock and roll, hard rock, heavy metal music. It just kind of, it's like one of those things that just goes on for eternity. My guitar player's thing was actually Pink Floyd. He listened to Pink Floyd. He felt like his brain could not, there was not enough for him to absorb. It just would go in his mind. As he said, it went on forever and ever and ever and ever. And so it relaxed him.
You know, when I went to college, I decided to follow like teaching because I wasn't sure that I was going to, and this was before I knew anything about dueling pianos at all, but I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be successful being a musician. And I taught for 12 years, you know, which to me is a long time with my master's. I have a master's degree in education and math. And, like I said, I loved it, but, and I was still performing on the side. I had a band in upstate New York. I lived in Rochester for about 10 years and we were a cover band. And it was great because I got to teach during the week. And then on the weekends I played with my friends, you know, we played in and around Rochester. But I think the hardest part for me was taking that leap of faith where I was like, okay, I've taught, I feel like I've been successful as a teacher and now I'm ready to pursue this other passion. And I still remember to this day having the conversation with my parents about making that career change. And it was scary. Like my mom passed away in 2018. And she and I were so close, and I still struggle without her every day. But I remember her like immediate support of my decision. And my dad, who's much more conservative, was like, okay, you're going to quit teaching to play piano and sing? Like, what about your health insurance? What about your pension? What, all valid points. What about your job security, your retirement, everything? And it wasn't until they came on a cruise ship with me. I was playing on a cruise ship doing dueling pianos. And they came on for a week and they came to my shows. And I remember my dad pulling me aside and saying, I get it. I get it. You're not just a musician, you're an entertainer. And that's what you were talking about earlier. When you come to Smiles, it's not just, yeah, I love playing and singing. But at our club, the show isn't about me. It's about you. It's about everyone there. Like if we're doing our job, you're singing all the songs. We're just that vehicle. We're facilitating the music. And it took him a while, but you know, my point is, I guess, you know, it was scary at first. We're talking about people that have had, you know, other careers and were teachers and, you know, engineers and lawyers and all these musicians that have, you know, educated backgrounds. But I always see this as part of my life, maybe not at Smiles when I'm 70 years old, but I'll always do something related to, you know, it's heartwarming. I mean, we've been friends on Facebook for a long time, and I try to post like happy stories of people that I feel like the music at Smiles or wherever has made a difference. You know, I can't tell you how many times someone's come in, asked for a song, and then I've played it and I put my heart into singing it. And then afterwards they're like, you don't realize what a difference that made. I just lost my husband. I just lost my daughter. I know a friend of mine lost her daughter, and she requested a song that her daughter loved. And then there was a woman a few years ago who had terminal cancer, and she actually has passed away since, but she came on stage and we just made the biggest deal of her being on stage, and she was in tears and that kind of stuff. That's why I do it. And it makes me feel good.
I think you hit the point, and that's something that I talk, you know, a lot of the artists I speak to, it's really, people ask, but why, if they're having such a hard time, why are they doing it? It's because they love it. They love it. They believe in it. They believe in what they're doing. And they feel in their soul that this is what they need to do. When people watch that documentary the Anvil documentary, people are like, why wouldn't they have just quit? It's like, because they really don't know what else to do. This is all that they love. Yeah, they're feeding school lunches to kids. But, oh my God, I get to go home and play my music. It's the same thing as you. I think that's just one of those things that so many people don't realize, is that when you put so much, Ben, I can see it. Of course, I can't speak for everybody that's in the club, but when I see you perform, I can tell that it's something that you love. And I know a lot more that's going on behind the scenes and everything, but I know that you love what you do. You believe in it. And so, and it comes out, it definitely comes through. It comes through in your performance, and the crowd picks up on it. When you were playing these shows and stuff, and you're with your band, did you end up playing with, did you end up touring? You ended up playing with touring bands, or?
Just locally in upstate New York. It wasn't until 2009. When I moved from, I settled in North Carolina. I have some friends in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as you know, being from the North, I was getting tired of the New York winters. I was getting tired of the cold. I know you're from the North too.
Utah. So
Yeah. So, I mean, you get the seasons, and it was hard for me to make a living up there. So, I decided to move down south, and once I moved down south, like, the floodgates started to open. I started getting involved with dueling pianos, and I would travel. I've probably played in 30 states. Like, I traveled across the country playing at different piano bars in different cities, and it was awesome. I loved it. And then around that time is when I got involved in playing on cruise ships. And that's when I got to play on cruise ships, and I played in Europe and I played in the Caribbean, and I've met just the most amazing, most talented musicians. You know, I call it touring because I was on the road all the time. I was playing at different clubs with different people and waking up in the middle of the night and not knowing where I was, like, you know, what hotel I'm in, what city I'm in. And I did that for several years. And you know, being a musician yourself, you understand, you know, the difficulties and drawbacks with being a musician. And for me, it's always been a few things. Like, the hours are not easy. You know, I go to bed at 5 a.m. That's when I fall asleep when I work. And it's also difficult to be in a relationship with the crazy hours that we have. And I don't know that I could date a musician like that has the craziest hours. And I think those are the drawbacks. But like you said, like you alluded to a little while ago, we do it because we love what we do. And I loved every moment of being on the road. I loved every moment of being on cruise ships. And now I love every moment of coming home and sleeping in my own bed and being at a place like Smiles that has a built-in crowd.
Right.
I show up on Saturday and the audience is clapping before we even play our first song. I could suck, and they're clapping before they even hear me play or sing because they're that excited.
How did you end up at Smiles? Tell that story.
Yeah, so I did the cruise stuff from 2012 to 2015, and I also played at different clubs around the country, and I networked with other piano players. And there was a musician, a friend of mine, who was playing at Smiles consistently every week. And he reached out to me and he was like, hey, a couple of our piano players aren't here anymore. I've got some free weekends. How would you like, first of all, where are you? And I was living in North Carolina and I was playing at a room in Greensboro. And actually I was in charge of booking that room. So I had a lot of responsibility, but he's like, if you have a weekend off, I'd love for you to come down and play this club in Savannah. It's called Savannah Smiles. It's one of the busiest and best clubs in the country. You know, come down, play here for a weekend. Love to have you play. So I had no intention of moving here at all, actually. And I came down in March of 2016. And the first night, like, it was like what you see. You walk in and it's like chaos.
It is.
Like, people everywhere. And I'm like, the rooms that I'd played until that point, like, some of the rooms were bigger rooms, but not like this, where it's just, you know, wall to wall, crowds of people, you know, all over the place. And I, you know, my eyes were wide open and I couldn't believe it. At the end of the first night, again, I had no intention of moving here. One of the owners wanted to talk to me at the end of the night. And he's like, listen, I know you've only had one night here. He's like, what do you think? And I'm like, this club is great. I said, these crowds are not a party down here. And he's like, what would you think about maybe like relocating here and working here full time? And I was like, I'd like to give it some thought. And I had some responsibilities in North Carolina and I felt like I needed to fulfill those before I made a decision to move. But I said, let me think about it. And I went back to North Carolina and a month later I moved down here. And I'm going on over 7 years now, which is, you know, it may not seem like a lot, but in this industry, you know, to be at the same club for 7 years, I figured it out. It's been over 1400 shows that I've played there.
Well,
stage that much. It's just crazy.
Well, it is. It's very much like a residency, like a Las Vegas residency. Mm-hmm. Which is becoming incredibly popular, right? Everybody's doing residencies now because people are realizing if, you know, in Savannah, I'm by no means am I comparing Savannah to Las Vegas, but Savannah does have an appeal for a lot of different things. And Smiles is one of those things people come to. If you've never been to Savannah Smiles, I will tell you, if you go there, it's insane. It's wall-to-wall humanity. I'm going to say this, women outnumber men in Savannah anyway, but when you're in the club, the noise is deafening. It will, it will absolutely just like blow your mind. You can't always hear the music. Not clearly. The screaming, the yelling is absolutely incredible. It is just,
I would say it's 75% women.
Yeah. It's just an incredible experience. I have VIP access. So I get into the club, but people get into the club. They come into the club. We sit there and we usually get the seats right off to the side and we watch people. They walk in, they stop for a second and go, oh my God. Yep. You're here now. Get into it. Enjoy yourself and have fun. And it's not easy to get a little over yourself. We'll say that.
That's great. People. It's great. People watching.
Listen,
the stuff that I get requested, as you know, ranges from, I have to sing Cardi B and Lizzo and that kind of stuff. Like the dirtiest, I had to sing, Colt 45. I don't know if you know that song. It's really dirty. And, you know, my parents, when they came in 2018, they came in 2017, are sitting in like the fourth row and I'm singing like the dirtiest songs. And, you know, I'm like, I don't know what, what am I doing? Like thank them for the piano lessons. Like, this is what it's come down to. But I remember there were these girls, this bachelorette party that was on stage dancing. And my dad turned to my mom and he's like, Judy, I don't think that girl's wearing any underpants. And my mom goes, sweetie, they're called thongs.
Oh, you know? No.
Yeah. So this is what we got. This is what we have.
I can tell you it's, yeah, I've been there while you did WAP many times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the, that one. Yeah. My dad and my brother came in the fall and I had to do it.
And, it's incredible, folks. If you haven't, I can't suggest it enough. I tell everybody. I've talked to the Uber drivers and cab drivers. They're like, people are just like, oh my God, that was just the most insane experience I've ever had. Oh my God, that's just insane. Just incredible. It really is. Savannah Smiles is just off the chains. But to be fair, the person who really makes it that way is, well, one of the people, but the main person here is Ben. Ben really does his. I know you're like, no. There's other players, but I'm gonna tell you, he really does bring it. What he does and what he brings to it, it's evident. You feel it on the stage as you're watching it. You see it. Ben really does bring something to the performance that makes everybody just go, oh my God, just incredible. Your talent and all that, it really just kind of comes out. It really shows it. And I think that's one of the things that also, you know, you came to Savannah Smiles. You had a lot of history behind you when you brought it. What was the beginning? What was it like when you first started at Smiles? And you're working with these, because I'm guessing that some of those guys are gone now, correct?
Of the people that I started with in 2016, only one of them is still there. No, two. Our drummer has been there, and he's a dear friend of mine. He's been there for, I want to say 17. He's been there playing drums there for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty amazing. But him and one of the other players who is also, an owner, he was those are the only two that are still there. So we have had some change. People move on. They want to, sure. They want to try different things and they want to explore other opportunities and travel or, you know, another gentleman opened up his own piano bar and, for me, listen, I feel, and I say this all the time. I know we're friends on Facebook and a lot of my posts, I feel spoiled and I feel so grateful and, to be there. The owners treat me with respect and value, you know, not just value me as a musician, but as a person. And I feel valued and that's why I'm still there. And the people, like you said, it's nuts. You know, I can't tell you, it's like every weekend someone will come up like, hey, do you remember me? And I'm like, from last year I came and I'm like, and then they'll show me a picture like that we took together, but we've had, you know, on a Saturday, we could have 1500 people come through the door.
Yeah.
So, unless I make relationships like you and I have, you know, it's tough to remember everything, but you know.
But it's, I'll tell anybody that's out there, you know, it's going to, when I say this to you, your immediate reaction is going to be like, oh no, I'm not. But you are a celebrity. And I think a lot of people believe, well, I had a moment with this person and you remember me, right? I hear this a lot from a lot of people. I think it was just not too long ago. It was an interview with Nikki Sixx. From Motley Crue. He's like, it makes him feel so bad. Because people were like, don't you remember me? I was blah, blah, blah at this time. He's like, God, I feel so guilty, so bad. Because the moment means so much to you. And I'm not telling you, it doesn't mean anything to me. It does. But real, I talk to so many people all the time. And the vast majority of people, like, I totally understand. I get it. But there are those people who are like, oh, no, you don't remember me. Like, it's not personal. I promise. Yeah. It's not personal. But in case you got all of you that are out there, just FYI, my puppy just ran into the room and has decided that he wants my attention.
He wants some interview.
He loves dad. It's all about dad. But yeah, I think that's, you know, Ben loves all of you guys. I tell you that.
I do. I really do. And I remember, I may not remember every single face, but I remember people where I feel like the music has made an impact or a difference. I think a lot of it is now that my mom is not here, I feel like I need to do more for other people. It's almost like I want to make her proud. And I think that's some of my motivation for trying to make a difference, if that makes sense.
Totally. No, I think that it's really important for, I think, especially today. I'm going to go deep on something, and I don't mean to like cloud or overshadow anything. We just came out of Memorial Day, and I'll be putting this show out here right first thing tomorrow. But one of the things that I'm a combat vet, and yesterday I decided to go ahead and, because, you know, it was getting late, I'll just go ahead and stop by. I'll grab something from a local fast food establishment and come home. And I did. And as I pulled up to order something, and this is part of what you're saying here. I rolled down my window and the fireworks started going off, and it triggered my PTSD. And I'm standing at the window at the ordering deal going, oh shit, you know, and I started to tear up, and I was like, hurry up. I want to get this done. I got to get out of here. And I came up to the window, and there was two girls there, and one girl was taking the other girl was there. And the one girl was just staring at me, and she could tell that I was distressed. And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I have PTSD and the fireworks are freaking me out right now. I got to go. And they're both, the girls are like, I'm so sorry. We'll get this to you right away. And they gave it to me. Like, please, are you okay? And I left. I said, I gotta go. I think that people today, I think it's one of those things where compassion can be lost, because a lot of people are very much connected to a screen and they forget that there's a human being there. And I'm glad to hear. I've been reading a lot about a lot of younger people are learning. No. We need to stop this. We need to revert. We need to go back to the human connection. And I'm really, like, my boys, two of my youngest sons have really gotten into this. Like, you know, I want to be more connected to people and less to a device. And they do that a lot. And I think it's really important as you know, for what you do, you're having a human connection with somebody, and you're having that whole thing with someone. And it's a really beautiful experience. And people need to forget, really, they do. They need to forget that it's not just about what you see on the screen. It's about that opportunity to have something with somebody else. I don't mean to overshadow anything, but that's a reality. That's actually something that happens. And I think that's important.
I'm sorry that you had that experience yesterday.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I can't imagine how that feels.
It sucks, but it's okay, because I'm talking to you.
Yeah,
it's all good. So, So we have a few minutes left. Going forward, I really feel like, and it's funny because we went into this discussion, I thought to myself, I think I kind of got this funny feeling that there's going to be a part three. There's going to be another interview with Ben. I think that there's going to be another one because Ben has more to say.
This was good, though. I mean, I always enjoy talking to you. I love seeing you at the club, and you've been such a big supporter of mine and just, I mean, music in general, but mine in particular. And I've really enjoyed getting to know you and the friendship that we've developed and the musical talks that we've had too.
Absolutely. I can't, and I'll make this clear to all the listeners. Ben is somebody I have an incredible amount of respect for and a tremendous amount of appreciation for. Being somebody who plays music and who understands this, but also he's just a great guy. He's a really good person. I talked to a buddy of mine from out just before I came on from out west, and just one of the sweetest, kindest people you ever meet in your life. And he's just tremendous. And it came through on the phone call. Even my wife was like, she's listening to it. She's like, you can just tell he's like the sweetest person ever. He is. You have that, and that's what makes Ben as a performer. When he performs, he gives that to you. When he's on the stage, he actually gives a shit. There's not you. People would be surprised. Not every performer cares. A lot of performers are like, I'm just checking the boxes and then I'm going and getting off them. That's it. And that's fine for a lot of them. That I get it. But there are a lot of performers out there that are just like, no, I care. I actually give a shit. I want to make sure I provide a performance that makes people go, wow, that's incredible.
You know, if I ever get to a point where I don't care and I'm not doing it because I love it, please drag me off the stage. Just please be like, you're done.
You're out.
Come on, crazy man. Pull me off the stage. Cause I do. I love it. I look forward to going to work every week. It doesn't feel like work. I say work. It doesn't feel like work. Right. You know, I look forward to going to shows every week. I really do.
And that's the way it needs to be. And I think that, you know, as we close out the show, one of the things I think people need to understand, people need to really grasp, is that performers, the vast majority of performers, or, you know, music performers, they do it because they care and they want to do it. They enjoy that human reaction. And it is a bit of a junkie type of thing. You know, they see those people out there in that crowd. They go, holy shit, wow, you know. But when you go to these shows, and especially if you go see Ben, I'm going to tell you, he's going to blow you away. He's always, it's incredible. I love watching Ben. I can't wait to see him this Saturday. He never disappoints. We love watching him. And it's just one of those things.
So glad you guys are coming out this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were going to go out last week, but some things have happened. So, or the week before, but some things happened, so we weren't able to. But anything else you want to say before we cut you loose?
Just thank you. Like, thanks for taking the time and showing interest and learning about, you know. And we'll do a part three. I'd love to.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll do a part three. It's funny because some of the artists that have been on the show before have listened to the interview, and they've actually asked me about Ben. Say, who's that guy, Ben Torres? I was like, well, he's a piano player at a bar in a club here in Savannah. Holy shit, that's really cool. So I think that it's, you know, your story is certainly, I think this story, this part of your story is going to be something that people are going to be really interested in. And it's definitely going to be connective. So once again, guys, you're talking to you're listening to Gino at Gino's Talking Rock, and we talk all things hard rock and heavy metal. Even today, we're talking musicianship, and we're talking with somebody who's an incredible performer and somebody who appreciates the music that we listen to, Ben Torres. And if you haven't had a chance, I'm telling you right now, get down to Savannah and give him a listen, you know, and a watch. He'll blow you away, I guarantee you. You got anything else you want to say to the fans out there, Ben?
No, just thank you for tuning in. And Gino, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Well, you're going to be back. I guarantee it. So once again, folks, all you folks out there, just remember, when you're feeling down and out, you're feeling like you don't know if you can make it, just throw those metal horns up, crank up some metal, and rock the day away. Or you can also just go down to Savannah Smiles and listen to Ben and make you feel better. All right, folks. We all love you. Stay good.